Hey guys, this is Vyom Joshi with Superior North. Welcome back to my channel. Waste Management is North America's largest provider of waste management environmental services. Today, we will briefly go over the company's 10K to get a better idea of its reportable segments. Then we'll look at Waste Management's fundamentals by focusing on its key ratios. We'll perform a discounted free cash flow DCF analysis to find the intrinsic value of the company. And finally, do an expected rate of return calculation to see if you were to invest in Waste Management at the current stock price, what kind of return can we expect on this investment? So let's dive in and review Waste Management.
Hey guys, let's start off by looking at the Form 10K, which is the annual report that Waste Management filed with the SEC. This is for the fiscal year that ended December 31st, 2020. And on page 59 of the report, the company provides us a business overview. The company states that it is North America's leading provider of comprehensive waste management environmental services, providing services through the United States and Canada. Waste Management partners with its residential, commercial, industrial, and municipal customers and the communities it serves to manage and reduce waste at each stage from collection to disposal while recovering valuable resources and creating clean, renewable energy. The company states that it owns or operates 268 landfill sites, which is the largest network of landfills in the United States and Canada. In order to make disposal more practical for larger urban markets, Waste Management manages 348 transfer stations that consolidates, compacts, and transports waste efficiently and economically. The company also uses waste to create energy, recovering the gas produced naturally as waste decomposes in landfills and using the gas in generators to make electricity. Waste Management is a leading recycler in the United States and Canada, handling materials that include cardboard, paper, glass, plastic, and metals. The company also provides cost-efficient, environmentally sound recycling programs for municipalities, businesses, and households across the United States and Canada, as well as other services that supplement its solid waste business. On the next page, Waste Management talks about its moat. Waste Management believes that focused differentiation, which is driven by capitalization of its unique and extensive networks of assets, will deliver profitable growth and position it to leverage competitive advantages. Simultaneously, Waste Management believes that the combination of cost control, process improvement, and operational efficiency will deliver on the company's strategy of continuous improvement and yield an attractive total cost structure and enhanced service quality. Next, on page 183 of the report, the company talks about its segments and related information. Waste Management states that it evaluates, oversees, and manages the financial performance of its solid waste business subsidiaries through its 17 areas. The company has aggregated its 17 areas into three tiers that it believes have similar economic characteristics and future prospects. After that, the company outlines the different areas that are included in those tiers. Waste Management states that Tier 1 is comprised of its operations across southern United States, with the exception of Southern California area and Florida area, and also includes the New England areas and the tri-state areas of Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio. Tier 2 includes California, Canada, and the Wisconsin-Minnesota area. And Tier 3 encompasses all the remaining operations, including the Pacific Northwest, the Mid-Atlantic regions of the United States, Florida area, and the Illinois and Missouri Valley area. On the next page, Waste Management gives us financial information about these tiers. We can see that for the year 2020, for the gross operating revenue, Tier 1 brought in about $6 billion, Tier 2 brought in about $3.8 billion, and Tier 3 brought in about $6.2 billion. We can see that Tier 1 and Tier 3 makes up majority of the company's total gross operating revenue. When we compare the company's gross operating revenue for the year 2018 to that of the year 2019, we can see that there was a growth in all the tiers from 2018 to 2019. However, when we compare 2019 to 2020, we can see that there was a decline in each and every tier. This isn't surprising because majority of the company's sales from its commercial customers declined due to the shutdowns brought about by the pandemic. Finally, on page 187 of the report, the company provides us information about its operating revenues across geographic areas. We can see that for the year 2020, about 14.5 out of the total $15.2 billion of net operating revenue came from the United States. In other words, more than 95% of the company's revenue came from the United States. When we look at the company's plant, property, and equipment, we can see that the United States for the year 2020 had about $13.1 billion out of the total $14.1 billion in assets. What this means is more than 93% of the company's total assets were located in the United States. Now that we have a brief understanding of Waste Management's business, let's review the company's fundamentals by focusing on its key ratios. Hey guys, now let's look at the key ratios. I'm on Morningstar looking at Waste Management. Under key ratios, I have the financials. The first item on the list is the revenue. The revenue is the top line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that the company brings in via sales. Back in 2011, the company brought in about $13.3 billion. and for the year 2020, it brought in about $15.2 billion. Over the past 10 years, the company's revenue has stayed fairly consistent, hovering from about $13 to $15 billion range. Next, looking at the operating income. The operating income is what we get when we subtract the cost of goods and operating expenses from the company's revenue. Back in 2011, the company's operating income was about $2 billion, and for the year 2020, it was about $2.5 billion. Similar to the trend that we saw with the company's revenue, we can see that the company's operating income also has been fairly consistent over the past 10 years. Next, looking at the net income. The net income is the bottom line of the income statement. This is the amount of money that's left with the company once it has paid for the cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes. Back in 2011, the company's net income was about $961 million, and for the year 2020, it was about $1.5 billion. Waste Management's net income has stayed fairly consistent over the past few years. When we look at the past 10-year trend for net income, we can see that the company's net income dropped off the cliff in the year 2013. This tells us that the company had some below-the-line expenses. In other words, it had some non-operating, one-time expenses, which caused the company's net income to decline significantly when compared to the previous year. After that, looking at the dividends per share. Back in 2011, Waste Management paid out about $1.36 per share as a dividend. And for the trailing 12 months, it paid out about $2.24 per share as dividend. Waste Management has been hiking its dividend every year for the past 10 years. Next, looking at the shares outstanding. Back in 2011, Waste Management had about 471 million shares outstanding. And for the trailing 12 months, it had 425 million shares outstanding. Waste Management's shares outstanding numbers have been declining every year for the past 10 years, which tells us that the company has been buying back its shares, which actually helps increase the existing shareholders' ownership within the company. Next, looking at the book value per share. The book value is what we get when we subtract the company's total liabilities from the company's total assets. Back in 2011, the company's book value was about $13 per share. And for the year 2020, it was about $17 per share. Ideally, we want to see the company's book value per share to be positive, staying steady or increasing. And we can see that Waste Management's book value has been increasing since 2017. The trend of positive book value per share indicate that the company always had more assets than liabilities on its balance sheet. Finally, looking at the free cash flow. The free cash flow is what we get when we subtract capital spending from the company's operating cash flow. Back in 2011, Waste Management's free cash flow was about $1,145 million. And for the year 2020, it was about $1,771 million. Ideally, we want to see the company's free cash flow number to be positive, staying steady, or increasing. I will be using the past 10 years of free cash flows for my expected rate of return calculation, and I will be using the 2020 figure of $1,771 million for my discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Now let's look at the profitability of the company, focusing on the net margin. The net margin is the ratio of the company's bottom line to its top line, so it compares the company's net income to its revenue. Back in 2011, the company's net margin was about 7.18%, and for the year 2020, it was about 9.83%. What this means is every $100 that the company made in the year 2020, by the time it paid for its cost of goods, operating expenses, non-operating expenses, interest on its debt obligations, and taxes, it had $9.83 left as pure profit. Next, looking at the return on equity. The return on equity is the ratio of the company's net income to its shareholders' equity. Warren Buffett prefers to only invest in securities that have a return on equity of 8% or greater every year for the past 10 years. Back in 2011, Waste Management's return on equity was about 15.59%, and for the year 2020, it was about 20.61%. We can see that Waste Management's return on equity has always been greater than 8%, except that one unique year in 2013. Next, looking at the return on invested capital. The return on invested capital gives us an idea of how good the management is at allocating the company's capital and getting a return on that investment. Back in 2011, the company's return on invested capital was about 8.23%, and for the year 2020, it was about 8.76%. Waste Management's weighted average cost of capital, also known as the company's hurdle rate, is about 5.5%. And since the company's return on invested capital is greater than the company's weighted average cost of capital, we can say that the company's management is creating value for its shareholders. Finally, looking at the interest coverage. The interest coverage gives us an idea of how many times can the company pay off its interest obligations using its income in that calendar year. Back in 2011, the company could pay off its interest obligations about 4.16 times, and for the year 2020, it was about 5.45 times. Benjamin Graham, the father of value investing, preferred to only invest in securities that had interest coverage of 5 times or higher. Now let's look at the financial health and liquidity ratios. The first item on the list is the current ratio. The current ratio compares the company's current assets to its current liabilities. Ideally, we want to see the company's current ratio to be greater than 1. Current ratio greater than 1 tells us that the company has enough assets to fulfill its liabilities over the next 12 months. Back in 2011, the company's current ratio was at 0.78, and for the year 2020, it was about 1.0. Over the past 10 years, the company's current ratio has stayed fairly consistent. Next is the quick ratio. The quick ratio is similar to the current ratio except we disregard the inventory component. In other words, quick ratio is equal to current assets minus inventory divided by current liabilities. Ideally, we want to see the company's quick ratio to be greater than 1.0, as that tells us that the company does not have to rely on selling its inventory in order to fulfill its current liabilities. Back in 2011, the company's quick ratio was at 0.66, and for the year 2020, it was at 0.89. Waste Management's current and quick ratios are comparable to its competitor, Republic Services. Next, looking at the financial leverage. The financial leverage is the ratio of the company's total assets to its shareholders' equity. A high financial leverage tells us that more of the company's assets are financed via liabilities. Back in 2011, the company's financial leverage was at 3.72, and for the year 2020, it was about 3.94. Over the past 10 years, the company's financial leverage has stayed fairly consistent. Finally, looking at the debt-to-equity ratio, this ratio compares the company's total debt to its shareholders' equity. Ideally, we want to see the company's debt-to-equity ratio to be less than 1.0. Back in 2011, the company's debt-to-equity ratio was at 1.5, and for the year 2020, it was about 1.78. Waste Management actually has better financial leverage and debt-to-equity ratios than those of its competitor, Republic Services. Now let's look at the efficiency ratios. The first item on the list is the day sales outstanding. This number gives an idea of how many days go by from the day the company recognizes its sale to the date actually receives cash for that service rendered. Back in 2011, the company's day sales outstanding was about 42.85 days, and for the year 2020, it was about 48.52 days. Ideally, we want to see the company's day sales outstanding number to be stable, and we can see that Waste Management's day sales outstanding number has actually been fairly consistent. What we do not want to see is a company whose day sales outstanding number is growing exponentially, as that means that the company may be aggressive with its accounting in order to artificially inflate its income numbers on its income statement. Next, looking at the payables period. This number gives an idea of how many days does Waste Management take to pay its suppliers. Back in 2011, the company took about 32.69 days to pay its suppliers, and for the year 2020, it took about 42.71 days to pay its suppliers. We can see that Waste Management's payables period has stayed fairly consistent over the past few years. What we do not want to see is a company whose payables period is growing exponentially, as it tells us that the company may be trying to hoard on to its cash in order to artificially inflate its cash flow numbers on its cash flow statement. Now let's compare the company's current valuation to that of the S&P 500. The S&P 500 is the aggregate of the top 500 companies in the United States. The first item on the list is the price-to-earnings ratio. Waste Management's PE is about 39.3, whereas S&P 500 is at 26.5. Waste Management's price-to-book is at 8.5, whereas S&P 500 is at 4.4. Waste Management's price-to-sales is at 3.8, whereas S&P 500 is at 3.2. Waste Management's price to cash flow is at 16, whereas S&P 500 is at 17.6. And finally, the dividend yield. Both Waste Management and S&P 500 have the same dividend yield, which is at 1.5%. We can see that on all these valuation metrics, other than the price to cash flow, Waste Management is overvalued when compared to the S&P 500. Hey guys, now let's look at Waste Management's discounted free cash flow DCF analysis. Over here, I pasted the company's 2020 free cash flow number that I got from Morningstar, which is at $1,771 million. I'm using an annual growth rate of free cash flow to be 6%. What this means is I expect the company's free cash flow to grow at 6% every year for the next 10 years. I'm using a discount rate of 7.5%. And this, we know that the company's weighted average cost of capital, also known as the company's hurdle rate, is about 5.5%. And if we add a 2% margin of safety on top of that, then we can make our discount rate 7.5%. I'm using a long-term growth rate of 4%. What this means is after the 10-year mark into perpetuity, I expect the company's free cash flow to grow at 4%. The company has 425 million shares outstanding and has a long-term debt of $13,259 million. I got this number from the company's balance sheet. After taking all of these inputs into account, we get the company's intrinsic value to be about $113.5 per share. And when we compare this intrinsic value to the company's current stock price, which is at $148 per share, we can see that the company's current stock price is trading about 30% above the company's intrinsic value. The way we calculate this intrinsic value is we look at what the free cash flows would be every year for the next 10 years. We sum up all those free cash flows, which come out to about $16.4 billion. Then we look at what the free cash flows would be after the 10-year mark into perpetuity. We sum all those up to get the intrinsic value to be about $61 billion. From this number, we subtract the long-term debt and divide by the shares outstanding to get the intrinsic value per share to be about $113.5. Now, if we disregard the perpetuity component, in other words, if we think that waste management is only going to grow for the next 10 years and then it'll cease to exist, then we get the intrinsic value without the perpetuity to be about $7.41 per share. And if you disregard the company's debt, in other words, if you think that the company is going to grow into perpetuity, so there is no point for the company to even worry about paying its debt, then we get the intrinsic value without the debt to be about $144.7 per share. Hey guys, now let's look at the expected rate of return calculation for waste management. Over here, I pasted the company's past 10 years of free cash flows that I got from Morningstar. All the numbers here are in millions of US dollars. This is the yearly free cash flow trend that we get over the past 10 years. We can see that the company's free cash flow, for the most part, have been trending upwards. Next, looking at the future data and predictions, I'm assuming that there's a 35% likelihood that the company's free cash flow will grow at 8%. There's a 50% likelihood that its free cash flow will grow at 6%, and a 15% likelihood that its free cash flow will grow at 3%. These are the potential free cash flow raise that we get into the future. After taking into account the numbers of shares outstanding, which is at 425 million shares, at the current stock price of about $148 per share, we can expect to get an annual return of about 2% on this investment. What this means is, if you were to invest in waste management at the current stock price of about $148 per share and hold the security through 2060, then we can expect to get an annual return of about 2% on this investment. Hey guys, now let's wrap it all up. We briefly went over Waste Management's 10K annual report and saw that Tier 1 and Tier 3 geographic regions bring in majority of the company's revenue. We saw that Waste Management's revenue, operating income, and net income over the past 10 years have stayed fairly consistent. Waste Management has been hiking its dividends every year for the past 10 years, and the company has also been buying back its shares every year for the past 10 years. Both these actions of dividend hikes and share buybacks indicate that the management is shareholder friendly. Next, we saw that Waste Management's return on equity for majority of the past 10 years has been greater than 8%. Waste Management's return on invested capital is greater than its weighted average cost of capital, which tells us that the company's management is creating value for its shareholders. Additionally, the company's interest coverage is greater than 5x. Next, we looked at Waste Management's financial health and liquidity ratios. We noticed that the company's current and quick ratios are better than its competitor Republic Services. Waste Management's financial leverage and debt-to-equity ratios are actually better than its competitor Republic Services. After that, we noticed that Waste Management's efficiency ratios have stayed fairly consistent over the past few years. When we compared Waste Management's current valuation to those of S&P 500, we found that on majority of the current valuations, Waste Management is overvalued when compared to the S&P 500. When we performed the discounted free cash flow DCF analysis using a 7.5% discount rate, the company's intrinsic value came to about $113.5 per share. When we compare that intrinsic value to the current stock price, we can see that the company's current stock is trading about 30% above the company's intrinsic value. After that, when we performed the expected rate of return calculation, we found out that if you were to purchase a share of Waste Management at the current stock price of about $148 per share, we can expect to get an annual return of about 2% on this investment. Overall, Waste Management is a stable company. Its revenue barely saw a decline in the year 2020, even though 45% of the company's revenue comes from its commercial and industrial lines. Finally, Waste Management's biggest strength is in the fact that it deals with trash, which is not significantly affected during the times of economic crisis. So if you are thinking about hedging your portfolio against economic crisis, Waste Management may be a good bet. However, at the current stock price, the company is overvalued. It is understandable that Waste Management is not a tech company. However, when we think about the opportunity cost, we know that there are other opportunities that provide a greater margin of safety and higher return than Waste Management. Hey guys, that is all I had for you this week. Hopefully you found this video on Waste Management interesting. If you like this content, please do like, share, comment, and subscribe. And if you have any suggestions on which stock I should review next, please leave it in the comment section below. I will greatly appreciate it. Thank you.